Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Couples TV Show with Greg and Cheryl Clark. You have made a great choice. Now sit back, take notes, and expect your relationship to transform today. Now join me in welcoming your hosts, Greg and Cheryl Clark.
Well, welcome to another edition of the Couple. We are the Couple Motivators, but welcome to another edition of the Inner Discovery Hour with Greg and Cheryl. And I won't spend too much time. Of course, this is Gregory Clark Sr. having a tremendous time and being blessed to have a wonderful lady on my left by the name of
Cheryl Clark. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on another Monday night.
And it's as we're continuing on the process, we're halfway done. Well, actually, after today's telecast, we'll be three quarters of the way done, because now we're going to be dealing with things 11 through 15 in this particular telecast of the 20 things we have learned about marriage and that things that you need to know. So it's been great. The website is coming along, I would say, within the next 7 days, probably by the time. Well, we definitely know by the time May 1st rolls around, we're going to be live. So GregandCherylClark.com, get ready to visit, and you'll be able to see our posts and our ideas and thoughts. Also, remember to still like our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecouplemotivators. And also, but not least, make sure you take the opportunity and the time to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is The Couple Motivators. Right now, we're building up the catalog. We're somewhere close to 60 plus, and before you know it, we're going to be over 100. And subscribe. That's a great way to get us in tidbits, to get your notes down, stuff that you may not have heard during the regular telecast. Go to our YouTube channel. You'll be able to see us, watch us, and partake. So without further ado, it's a pleasure of mine. Text my wife to say number 11.
Well, before we go into that, I just want to, I am very excited about what's happening down the pipeline.
Oh, okay.
And for those who would like to join us, and if you, in the Couples Motivators, meaning if you are married or you know, long-term relationship, or you're thinking about doing this thing, you just got married, and I'd like to say a big congratulations to one of our little people, our little mentees,
Jessica and Joshua.
We want to give a great shout out to them that they just got married.
420 day, baby.
Yes, they just got married today, so we just want to say a big congratulations to you. Now, so with that being said, the first step of marriage and the first year can be a doozy.
Woo!
So the first couple of years can be a doozy.
True.
So with that being said, the marriage and the commitment is under attack, and marriages are being challenged every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And like we always say, we're very transparent, and sometimes our marriage is always not hunky-dory.
Mm-mm.
However, you have to know the tools to put in place in order to get back to those hunky-dory days.
Very true.
And how to get back from, not to get stuck in a silly argument, or not to get stuck in a disagreement, and how to move forward and to roll into something that you'll be able to say that we can get past this too. So I just want to say a big congratulations if you just got married, and if you were thinking about getting married, this would be a good platform for you in order to get some good tools and to plug in with us in that regard. And if you're thinking about putting on being a part of us, and you're going to be able to join with us, because you're going to get the opportunity to join with us in a to have a platform to speak to different people in the same vein as you are. If you are committed about being with your spouse and not throwing in a towel and not saying the D word all the time, then this is a place for you. And we're just one couple. So what happens is that we're going to be really giving people an opportunity to be portions in their community. If you're from the Charlotte, North Carolina area, if you're from D.C. area, if you're from the Massachusetts area, wherever you're from, you'll be able to join with us, and we'll be able to now train you in that regard. And also, if you would like to join with us in regards to getting trained with us and just having a group or one-on-one with us, you're going to have the opportunity to do that too. We are serious about this, and we are taking it on by its horns, and we are at the platform, and we are at the forefront of marriages and commitment. So we are excited about it, and I am excited about what's down the pipeline. Like Greg said, we are at the home run, about to get launched in May, and we're excited about it, right?
Very good. Very true. And very happy to be here, and very happy that we are about to take some other things. And plus, also to add on to what Cheryl was just saying, since we're going to probably do it now instead of later, you know, the Couple Motivators is also a platform for you to build, to help establish a legacy.
Yeah.
And now that we have some tools under our disposal, other than the things that we are just teaching and sharing, we're going to give you other opportunities and other aspects for you to learn, and also to grow your buying power, how to grow your, how should I say, your ability to see your money work for you even more. Because, see, the Couple Motivators is also about building business. So we are also understanding that a family is a business. Your family structure is a business. There's nothing wrong with establishing the fact to say, you know what, within this family dynamic, we're going to establish something so our name could be known. And believe you me, with the information that we have, the information that we will be sharing, the information that we will allow those select few who are ready to step up to that next step, believe you me, you're at the right place and at the right time here with myself and Cheryl Clark. And believe you me, the sky's the limit. And a lot of times it's just based upon what you want for yourself,
yeah,
what you wish for yourself.
Because if you, we believe that, because we've been entrepreneurs for now, it's been...
Since 98.
So that's going on 16 years, 17 years.
17 years.
This in September.
Mm-hmm.
So I applaud you that when you start to make your own, first of all, your own schedule.
Come on,
own,
speak about it.
Your own economics.
Don't worry, we're going to get to 20 things, but there's some real good nuggets.
Yes, in your own economics. Your own, you won't be able to be in a pigeon-toed into your own economical state of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to go on your own, you're on your own volition. However, now what we've learned is how to be an entrepreneur. However, we learned it without men. We had some help along the way.
Mm-hmm.
However, we are in the standpoint mm-hmm. of knowing how to do a business, how to grow a business.
How to maintain a business
is something that you need to have. And if you have a 9-to-5, I don't really think that that's generational legacy leaving for your family as a whole. And I think that we need to tap into now being entrepreneurs and how to tap into real wealth for our family. And as I just say, real wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's our time to start tapping into those things that we, you know, not necessarily feel that we could have done. And it's all about generational, because these things that we're going to talk about is all about you now leaving it to your family as well. So it's not just about you. It's not just about what you could do. And you're also going to be helping others through this network. So,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about networking. Who are you touching? Who are you leaving it for? And who are you impacting on a daily basis? And those are the questions you need to ask yourself. Each and every day we open our doors, we love to see the shining faces of the children. We have a daycare, two actually, and also we do other things in that regard. Now if I have marriage, you know, I'm a therapist, and, you know, Greg does consulting. And the thing is that we also have some other things that we do with couples
mm-hmm.
to show them that you can do this and that.
Yes.
And then, like, we just came off from being Dominican Republic, you know, and we're planning another vacation. So take your week. Greg and I always do a vacation with just he and I and, you know, our mm-hmm. couple. And then we do a family vacation. And then if we take something, then we also sometimes go throughout the year. We usually take a little breather. So this is some of the things that mm-hmm. you can do when you start to become an entrepreneur, because then you start to take your time back. The mm-hmm. time is worth a lot mm. more than it's a lot more than any currency you have. At. And you only need currency.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll show you how to get that too. So before further ado, we'll just get into that. So I hope we blessed you, and I hope we didn't give you much. However, but we will do that in the next couple of days, because we've been talking about it. Now it's time for us to show you what we're talking about. So that way you won't be in a loss of when and how you can be blessed, and you can start to do your own thing in that regard and starting to be a part of a community of wealthy people.
Very good. And so, wow, it looks like we got that out of the way, and we're ready to roll to number 11. Number 11 of the 20 things that we have learned about marriage that you need to know. And Cheryl, can you bless them with number 11?
So number 11 is intimacy is important.
Ooh.
Holding each other is sometimes the best medicine.
That's why I wanted her to start with number 11.
Well, because intimacy is not sex. Intimacy is getting closer to your mate without saying a word. Sometimes without doing a thing. Sometimes just laying in the bed. Sometimes just holding hands.
True.
Sometimes just speaking without words.
Mm.
And it can be a point where people forget about intimacy.
True.
And when intimacy is gone, you lose a part of your relationship. Because I know when my husband is not feeling well.
Mm.
Like last week, he wasn't feeling that well. And mm-hmm. I know sometimes when he just needs for me to just hold him.
That's it.
And he did vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just got to know to know to know. But you got to be plugged in to know. And if you're not plugged in to know, then it's a situation where you become detached from each other.
Mm.
And having intimacy is sometimes that part of you that just goes to a place where that person is just there. Mm. That person is just, it's just at the point where that person just knows that I just need to cuddle. I just need for him to hold me. Do you cup with your mate at
Ooh.
Night?
Mm.
Sometimes something goes off, and then sometimes you just fall asleep in each other's arms.
Teacup.
And a lot of times, like Greg and I, we had something that we did prior, so we was out late, and so we took a nap.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, I can't go to sleep. He was like, yes, you can. And he took me, and in his arms.
Yeah, I literally took her.
And I went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I went to sleep, and I'm not a napper. I always say I'm not a napper. And I actually rest. And that's the whole point. It wasn't long. It's just that just need a little nap.
Recharge.
And to recharge. And he was like, you need to chill, Cheryl. Come on. Come on with me. And sometimes your partner, your mate, could tell you that. And I fell asleep, right, honey?
I really did.
Fell asleep. So that's the point where you just know that I just felt safe, and I felt like, he didn't want nothing. He just wanted to hold me. And I fell asleep. And that's intimacy.
Well, intimacy also, and as she was just saying in reference from the male perspective, sometimes we assume that intimacy always has to lead into some sort of physical whatever. Whatever you do. Just like they said, whatever goes on in your bedroom, that's your bedroom. You 50 Shades of Grey, bless you. Hopefully you're not just ordinary missionary position, then we need to work with you. But regardless of the situation, you need to understand that intimacy is something that is needed wholeheartedly, even for men. Sometimes we have to get in, and it's not about getting in touch with a side that's not there. We all have that intimate side. The intimate side also allows us to grow, because now we start to see, we understand you're supposed to navigate through your manhood, and that also your drive also, you know, leads to your entrepreneurial pursuits, which we'll probably go further in another later on down the road. But, you know what I'm saying, having a great sex drive is necessary. But just because you have a sex drive doesn't mean that there are times where it's not just about always the physical interaction. Sometimes it could be about just holding her hand. Sometimes you just need a hand held. And you may sit there and say, nah, I'm a guy. I don't just need my hand held. I don't just need somebody just to rub me or to lay me on their stomach or lay me on their chest. Sometimes you do. And it's not even that. It becomes a comfort level, because it's not that you're reverting yourself back into the womb, but you're respecting the fact that your queen has the ability to also envelop you as well. So when you get to that point in that stage, and even as we have began today's telecast and we was, you know, congratulating those young people who decided to, you know, move on to that next step in their relationship, one of the things that we would tell them is that intimacy is what you make of it. You have to have discussions. You have to, it took time. It took work. It took her working with me. I'm man enough to admit that. I'm a man's man and all this, that, and the third, you know, intimacy. What is all that about? You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be just, you know, we're going to do this or we're not going to do this. And then after a while, as you start to grow and you start to learn your woman, you start to understand, like, wait a minute. Then it starts, when you start getting some sense, because, yes, we do have to remember that, you know, we may not be as, you know, smart as we were as we get more and more experience and become a little bit more learned. But as I started to become a little older, I started to understand what this whole thing about intimacy is about. Sometimes there are times where I would literally, as my wife was saying about cupping, but there are times where you get a recharge just from holding your mate, knowing that connectiveness, knowing that, that you know, you're with someone that's in the same, the whole ride or die situation. You know, you got your partner next to you. And if you have that individual that's really laying next to you, and that's why we tell y'all the difference between dating and courting. That's why we don't want to hear all that stuff about, you know, you just dating this girl, dating that girl. That's nothing. The physical act only lasts but so many minutes. But if you're really building something, you're connecting with something, now you start moving in vibrations and navigations that can take your soul, your experience, your spirit to another level. So intimacy is something that is wholeheartedly needed. It has to be expressed. And fellas, yeah, if you don't understand, as my wife told me, even though when we first got married, you know, Google wasn't really around, but you know, she would tell me, go get that book. She'll send my behind that book, so I'd be like, look, maybe you need to listen to some love songs. Quiet Storm is on. Just listen to some music for an hour, and maybe that'll give you some inspiration and some thoughts. See, she's smiling because you know, she thinks I don't remember that, but I remember all that. I would say in my younger self, it would have been like, oh, my God, why is she trying to shape me or teach me or this, that, and the third? And you be in your ego because you're still in that lion sense of you're more predatorial, which is true. We're men, we become very predatorial, especially once you have your woman and, you know, you think it's yours and this, that, and the third, and you're ready to get some and blah, blah, blah. And you forget about, whoa, it's not just about you. When you stop just thinking about yourself, things start to work out a little bit better. When you start to just not just say, okay, I'm just getting in there so I can get mine and this, that, and the third, and I'm not worrying about foreplay or caressing or touching or talking or doing all the other stuff or rubbing or, you know, squeezing or, you know, cajoling or whatever. Next, you know, certain things that you expect. Now it's not no more time of expectation, because now you done tilled the ground a little bit. Now, all of a sudden, things are like, oh, can you do this? Now you don't even have to ask because you went intimate. You started thinking with this head, not just what's going on down there. So intimacy is a learned skill. It's a skill that will allow your relationship to have some level of longevity. And regardless of the situations around you, make sure that you start to figure out who you are. And yes, men, I'm saying it, so you can, you know, send your emails to me or whatever if you think that I'm saying something wrong, which I know I'm not. But men, we do need intimacy as well, because believe you me, if you're just worrying about being, you know, Mr. Hammerman, and Hammerman ain't working, you better have something else in your tool belt. And that's number 11, dealing with intimacy. And now I'll start with number 12. That flows us right to number 12. Number 12 is simply, it's simple, respect each other. And see, the reason why that jumps in from number 11 and how I just elaborated, you see, intimacy allowed me to start to say that I have the ability to recognize who my wife is for me. So if I'm going to respect her, I'm actually respecting myself. There's something that I always say all the time, and sometimes my kids probably think I'm a broken record because I don't really say, when I get on a roll, I will talk. But there are times that I will say more or less the same mantra over and over again. In order to love me, you better love yourself. And I say that all the time. In order for me to respect my wife, I better respect myself. And there are times where when you are dealing with relationships, and we have dealt with couples and counseled and coached, and you start to see, you think it's something about, you know, she throws her clothes on the floor, or she'll say, he just leaves the toilet seat up. No. And then when you start really getting to the real nuts and bolts of the situation, it's dealing with respect. Oh, no, I feel that he doesn't honor the fact of what I'm doing with the children. Or I don't like the fact that I'm out there busting my behind and she ain't doing X, Y, and Z. Stop. Now we're dealing with respect. And we have to honor that fact. And me as a man would say, as my wife, before we started doing our entrepreneurial aspects of that have grown to this day, she, for about 2 years, turned from a person who was a worker and had a job and had her own money, and all of a sudden them first two kids came, and literally, you know, in the blink of an eye, even though it may seem like it was a couple of years, but in the blink of an eye, I had to be the breadwinner. Now, it's not for me just because I was a breadwinner to say, oh, I control the purse strings.
You
were
always a breadwinner, but...
No, but I want to get to this point. Is that as much as that I was the quote-unquote breadwinner, and that goes back to respect. The reason why I can say this, because the quote-unquote breadwinner, what she had to do at home, dealing with them kids, babies, diapers, spit up, S up, and because I'm not going to curse, but if you have any sense, you should understand what that means as well. Taking care of the responsibilities, cooking, feeding us, this, that, and the third, honor that. Because that allowed me to do what I was trying, not trying, what I was attempting to do for the family.
Which you did.
Yeah. So now, when it becomes a level of respect, the reason why I can honor my wife and respect her for what she has brought to the table, not only bringing forth life, but actually turning an apartment that we was in barely a year before we got our first home into a home that was comfortable enough for our first two children. Then we allowed other family members to live with us and expanding the family even more and been able to be blessed every day. And it's not easy, but one thing that I can say is that I have the utmost respect for her. And it has nothing to do with what she's doing right now. It has more to do with the fact of her track record, things that she has accomplished for herself, see, for herself. And that's what makes me respect her even more, because people say, oh, I'm out there and I'm busting my behind for you. Stop it. If you're doing that, you're doing it from the wrong vibration, and you need to stop yourself. If you're out there, regardless of whatever it is, as Cheryl stated earlier, if you're an entrepreneur, you're a 9-to-5, you're white collar, blue collar, whatever, you're out there because that's what you wish to do at this particular time. If you want to change it, change it. But don't disrespect your partner, if you have one, by bringing in that energy, I'm out here doing this for you and this, that, and the third. Stop. If you don't like that, change it. And if that partner is doing what they need to do at home, which is allowing you to go outside and bring whatever it is into the storehouse, then respect it. And sometimes that's where a lot of stuff get clogged up in these relationships, is just the respect level. We start to lose that respect. We start to assume. We start to think. We start to overthink. And by overthinking, sometimes that ego kicks in, as we was talking about earlier. You start shooting yourself in the foot because now you're so emboldened and blazing within yourself, and you're forgetting, like, yo, you can't do this alone. So by honoring and respecting the person that you have said I do with, that you're saying that you're building a legacy with, that you're saying that, you know, you're hoping that children come out of it and then eventually hopefully grandchildren way down the road, then respect that other person. And it goes vice versa. It's not about just the man has to respect. No, it's vice versa. Because you only can receive the vibration that you send out. Because there are times people will say, I don't understand why certain things keep happening to me. Check your vibration. Check your vibration. But that's another story for another day. It's time for me to decrease and give my wife her opportunity to talk about number 12.
So for me, respecting one another is just plain as day. If I don't respect him, well, first of all, if I don't respect myself, I can't respect him. If we don't teach our children to respect themselves,
mm-hmm.
And as parents too, I want to say that when it goes down to with our marriage, is that us being the parents of six, parents, please, even though we say we don't, we don't have control over our children or whatever. We have a 19-year-old and an 18-year-old. And what people say to us the most is, like, they are the most respectful children, young adults, because you don't know what you're putting into them until they become young adults.
Mm, true.
And that is the most wonderful thing, I think, that we can say, that our children have become so respectful to mankind. So I think it's because we show them how that we respect ourselves, number one, and number two, how to be an individual without disrespecting someone else.
Sure.
So with Greg saying that, he didn't make me do anything that I didn't want to do. I was really in agreement with having a large family with him, as we discussed having four, but we ended up having six. So we were in the agreement of having a large family from the beginning. And I think that's very important for you to have the same vision with your mate. Because if you don't have a conversation and then the conversation becomes convoluted throughout the years, and then you don't revisit the conversation, then you don't revisit things, then you tend to fall in the fact of disrespecting each other because you guys are not seeing eye to eye. And it's because one sees one vision one way and the other one sees another way. Then also, when someone starts to learn and become open to learn and the other one isn't, the point is, how can you guys grow together if you're not learning together? Greg and I always have to be open to learning new things and to learn from each other. Have to be open because one is always, usually in a relationship, I see where one has the lack, the other one usually has that piece of the puzzle. Greg and I really, really learned how to call on our strengths in our relationship and then know how to plug in where our strengths lie and then fall back where the other one shines in that area. So that's what you got to know when, and we fought a lot about our things because we're both alpha. So the thing is we have to learn how to grow on the boat, and sometimes he takes the stern. And I'll take it. So it's all about learning how to go in the boat and to respect each other when it's your turn. And then sometimes you're riding together. And sometimes you're in the same boat together. Most times you're in the same boat. However, you got to make sure that you're respecting each other while you are in this road of marriage and commitment with each other.
Very good, very good.
When you both capsize.
Uh-oh. Capsize, we don't need that. Especially black women, they can't get their hair wet. You can't do that. No, you can't do that.
You ain't doing that.
That wasn't happening. But anyway, that flows us into number 13 about love one another. not with just your words, but with your actions. You see, it's easy to say, I love you, 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 love you. And you see all that? I said love you at least 20 times in that whole little statement just now. But at the same time, that's just expression. That's just outward me pushing air out, utilizing my tongue to push out a thought from my mouth. Now, the real actions come into is not about things. Because, see, people would make that assumption that you would hear, you know, not with just your words, but with your actions, to think that it's about now, okay, she going out trying to buy something. This one is this one's out here trying to get red bottoms. This one's out here purchasing this. No, it's not. That's not the type of actions that we're talking about. The type of actions that go higher than purchasing temporal things is the way how you interact with each other, the way how you start to grow in the spaces that are created that allow you to express that love in a level where all that other stuff is great. And I'm not going to tell you that if, you know, if it's within your power and you want to bless someone with certain things, be mindful. I for one, am one of those main people. I like my wife looking good. I like my wife having the great stuff. But at the same time, I know how to do it sensibly. There's no reason why she can't walk out and be the best-looking thing walking down the street, but that doesn't mean I'm going to break out bank to do it. Because now I'm going to, just to make her look good, I'm going to break out bank. That's not wisdom. But wisdom is figuring out ways to make sure your woman looks like $1 million, and at the same time, you still have some money left up in reserve to do what you need to do. So those actions start with the vibrations of how you navigate with each other. How you deal with each other in the home, as Cheryl was just alluded to. How you even, once the kids are involved, because the kids are very mindful. And how you interacting with these kids. How you interacting with your spouse in front of these kids. We wonder why sometimes certain things are, we won't even say it's genetic. It's more inherent because of viewing, because of the eye gates of seeing. I saw things growing up that I knew, should I try to bring that into my relationship? And as I became, as that gray matter started disappearing out of my, off of my brain, all of a sudden it was like, no, I ain't doing that here. And I'm not going to speak to my wife, but it could be vice versa, but she'll share in her point. But my main thing when it comes to love and expressing it, not only with just your words, but with your actions, it's easy to run around and say, oh, I love you, 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 I love you. And then at the same time, you know, those same people run around saying, I love you 50 million times. And next, you know, you start digging through their closet and they got all kinds of stuff going on. I know I'm going to say something right now that deals with this. And I believe for me, has been a governor for me, but I've learned how to temper it as I've become older. But honesty is a great thing, but sometimes you can be too honest. Don't be too honest where you're becoming hurtful, because now that hurtful is not showing love. But be honest to the point where there's an established rapport that you have with each other that, you know what, if my wife walks over to me like, Greg, you need to take this minute. 10, 15 years ago, I'd have been like, yo, what are you doing? What do you think this is? You telling me my breath stink? You don't love me? My breath stink? My breath don't stink. Now, with me being a learned, wise man, she's walking by me with a little tic-tac on. I understand. She said, you're not offensive, but, you know, we're dealing with people. And she'll hook a brother up. That's love. That wasn't a purchase. That wasn't something where it was you sitting there saying, oh, my God, what did she give you? What she gave me is what I needed at that particular point, and that's love. See, that's why, that's one of the things that we as a couple motivators are for. See, we're going to throw out some little, we're going to hit you with things that you understand, but at the same time, we're going to throw curveballs where you think we're going one way and we're really bringing you straight and center. Because there's nothing wrong with having great stuff and great things and having money, but if you have no one to share it with, if you have no vibration where you're actually enjoying your life, that you're building, that you're creating this legacy for, what the hell are you doing it for? What are you going to make someone else miserable while you're miserable? Just to prove because you have something? What you have don't mean nothing. That could be from a 20,000 square foot home to someone living in a studio apartment. So when you show your true actions of love, it's not about just manifesting pockets of air out of your mouth. It's about really getting in tune with the situations around you. And by doing so, it goes back to how we said earlier to number 12 about respecting yourself. Because now if you're doing that, you respect yourself. Now you're respecting the other person because now you're not going to do an action that's going to be belittling to your partner, but you're going to accept that, yo, if they got my back, yo, they see something that needs to be corrected, respect that and keep it moving. If you can do that, you'll have a very long and healthy relationship. Sure.
What I say about this, when I wrote this, is about the love one another, is love one another also is very, very personal, because how we feel about love, you have to know what people feel about love. What does love really mean to them? And what love means to them can be a total different thing than what you may think what love is. So that's why you have to be very clear about what do you mean by love. Because some people, and bringing to, if this, like even if this is your second relationship, people tend to really go off the fact of what they did in their prior relationship. If you did not get the help that you needed in your relationship, because this man could be really loving on you, and then you don't see it as love. You see it as something that's, you know, wrong. He may see of love, Greg's way of showing love was he was a provider. So I knew that Greg's love was, you know, just providing. However, I needed for him to understand that I needed this type of love. And for him to show what I needed, for him to show not just with his words, but with his actions, and with and just because Greg would write me love letters when we was very early on in our relationship. And then he stopped. So I'm like, what the heck? So, you know, when you just get comfortable with each other.
Sure.
And that's the thing. And we don't really, we're women, we don't really need a whole lot. It's just a point where we just need to know that you just care. And he doesn't have to buy me, and he has bought me some lavish gifts. However, he doesn't wait for a holiday. He doesn't wait for that to happen. He had to sometimes just give it to me. Sure, I saw this. I thought it was very nice. I thought it would look nice on you. And that would be it.
Keep it moving.
And I would say thank you. And the thing is, that was just showing me love. But then certain things that he may leave a little note, that made my day. That would just make my day. If he would just come by and just give me a squeeze me and give me a hug. That's showing me love. And it didn't cost him a thing, but just he just carved out a little time. And that's what I mean by not just your words. Because you do need to say you love you to your spouse. And there's something about unconditional love, because your spouse may do some things that get on your darn nerve. You gotta love those imperfections. They gotta be perfect for you. And then you let them know during that time, listen, I don't like that you have this here, the clothes on the floor. Just put them over there. Let's have a solution. Maybe the solution is getting a bigger house. More closets. Maybe you've outgrown that. Or if you're so busy in your day and you're not able to do what you need to do, you need to get some help around there. Get somebody in. Like, I know that our days are busy. I can't clean house. Like, I know we would get somebody to get in here to clean house. It's just that simple. There's always a solution to what's happening around you. You want to say something?
Oh, no, that was great. I mean, as we're about to move into number 14, which I'll ask you to read in a couple of seconds, but just think about what she's saying. the vibrations that you send out come back to you, not necessarily the way that you sent it out. That's why when people talk about karmatic experiences, karma is not a good thing or a bad thing. If you send out the right energy, energy gets returned to you properly. It will be transformed in a different way. You'll think that, oh, I saw someone and I helped them with whatever. Don't assume that by that action that you're going to receive that reciprocal action in the same way. No, the universe has a way of being, say, oh, you blessed this person. We're going to bless you in some place else that you may not know of.
And don't look for anything.
And don't even look for it.
If you just do it with just, yeah, so many, I don't get to tell you how many times that we have helped organizations, individuals, people, and we have not said a word.
And it's not for us to say a word because we understand, and not to cut my wife off, but we already understand. People have come up to us and be like, yo, people were to really see, like, that's why, I want to jump into number 14, and I don't want to get too spiritual at this particular moment, but
this is what, that was number one.
But one of the things I would say is, in order to recognize why we are blessed, and remember what I just said, to recognize why we are blessed, you have not seen the seeds that we've sown. And we're not talking about from tithes and offerings. You have not seen what we have sown and what we will continue to do. And that's the reason, one of the reasons why it came to our manifestation as we were going through. And that's probably why certain incarnations, where the vibration wasn't right until we got right. And when we got right and we understood, like, wait a minute, we have something here that needs to be shared, needs to be expressed, needs to be cultivated, then all of a sudden everything started falling into place. And see, that's some portion of our good karma coming back to us and saying, you know what, y'all two are now not just of age, but now you're acting with some wisdom. Now you're ready.
That does come with age. Yeah. I do think that comes with wisdom. We got married 20 years ago, and we've been in the same. I tell you, the maturity that we have come into now, and that we can actually stand on our feet and say that we can give you advice and wisdom. Oh, I absolutely stand on that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We can absolutely stand on that.
So number 14, because I know we don't want to take too much time, pay attention to what your spouse is doing and be their biggest cheerleader. Motivations. Now, the statement itself should suffice, but we will elaborate. One of the things that I've come to understand, especially when it comes to my wife, is that first, when she was working on her bachelor's degree in psychology, she would sit up there, she'd be sitting at that desk, long nights, going back and forth. She would ask me, you know, to read this and read that. But at the same time, I did it. But at the same time, I would kind of leave little things like, Greg, why didn't you check that? I says, no, because I said, it's your work. This is your representation. This is what you're putting out there. And she'd be like, Greg, you forgot this word and that word. But I say this to say this. It was beautiful watching her go back to school and accomplish a goal for herself. And first that was her bachelor's degree in psychology. Then she turned around and said, you know, I'm going to take it to the next step. You know, she made that vow. She kept that vow to herself. That's what I'm saying about respect it. In order for her to respect me, she had to respect herself. She made that vow to herself. I never forget, when our last child was born in 2002, she said, once this young man is in kindergarten, I will continue to learn. Because we was already entrepreneurs. It wasn't a thing where she was going back to school because she needed a degree for some particular career, this and that. No. Now that she had the time, because she established a business and we've completed the childbearing years, because we'll always be childbearing. That's one of the things I'm happy I learned so many weeks ago. we'll be 60, 70, 80 years old, and if we're still vibrating in this physical form, you'll still be parents. So regardless of the case, that job is never going to end. But for her to keep that word to herself, to say, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fight for my bachelor's degree, then turned around and started working on her master's degree in marriage and family therapy. What was I going to say? We're going to say, oh, no, you can't accomplish that. You can't do that. No, yo, you figured out the time. We work around you. The same way when I feel blessed, I finished my degree. I got my bachelor's degree in mass communications. And something just clicked to me and says, wait a minute, if I'm really going to impact lives, I need my master's degree. And I went back for early childhood education. And to this moment now, I'm sitting on my left is a, you know, a licensed marriage and family therapist. In this physical form, in this temporal form, there's a licensed New York State teacher.
And let me just say this. Mm-hmm. During the time, the cheerleading part,
mm-hmm.
is because when you go for your master's degree,
hoo-hoo,
there is a time where you have to give a year worth of your life without pay.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's in any type of master's degree,
or at least once or 6 months, 6 months to
at least,
yeah,
you, depending on, I have to do a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and thank God for, now see, this is where the key comes into, where entrepreneurship is the key.
Mm.
Because if you are not in your own, I don't think if we wasn't an entrepreneur,
no,
we wouldn't have been able to do that. If I was still, I used to work at the library, if I was still at a 9-to-5, I would not, I don't think they would have been very much so accommodating because they opened from 9 to 5. And I don't know how I would have did that and be able to suffice for the life that we had in that regard. So with that, entrepreneurship would be the thing to do in you going to any higher education. And if that is something that you would want to do, I recommend that entrepreneurship is a way, period, for any couple in life. So if that's something that, because you need flexibility, because I was at the clinic 3 or 4 days out the week, depending on the hours and the times I had to do, and it had to run throughout the semester. You know, I started to September, and it didn't end for me until the following August when I walked. So, and that was just my program. My program did it from September to June, right, for a school year.
Well, part of the school year, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's the thing, is that depending on what program you're in, you have to give your time in those things, and they don't pay you for your internship. You are free. You're learning the time. And then you hope and pray that they keep you, you know, at that particular place, if they like you. And
if
they like you. So, and that was the thing is, you know, they asked me to stay where I was, and I was grateful for that. And then I was able to staff. It never stopped. The thing that you have to understand is that during that time of season, it will be challenging. And and even if your spouse is doing things that you don't understand, my husband is a football coach. I didn't know one thing about football. However, I'm like, I'm so deep into the football thing that...
She's good. She's better than some of you dudes right now.
I'm so deep into knowing how to, you know, do the background work. But sometimes I fit in to his world of where I can get in.
You compliment it.
Yeah. I get it. I may not know every scheme. I may not know everything. However, I do know that he loves it. So I'm going to
learn to love it.
Learn to love
learn to.
A little part of it.
Yeah.
And, like, we're going to see the fight. That's not really my thing, but I'll go with him. So, and the thing is, there's certain things that you have to do. Like, he doesn't really like to go skating, and he'll go there. But there's certain things that you do for your spouse that you normally would not do. So that's just about being a cheerleader for your spouse, even if you may not understand it. And then also be a soundboard when they may be going too over the board, and be a really good soundboard for them when they need it. So that's a really good thing to be, and not be criticizing, but be a soundboard of support. And that takes time, and that may be frustrating during a time where you feel like you don't see any end.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say to you is that if you guys can be one another's cheerleaders and biggest motivators, that can put your marriage to the next top, over the top.
That's wonderfully said. And wrap number 14 up in a bow, which brings us to the last one for tonight's telecast. Don't be easily to freak out about it. Pick your battles. It's crazy to stay up arguing half the night. Now I'm going to digress. I'm going to let my wife.
There were so many times.
I got to fold my hands for this one.
That we have argued about this half the night. Tired. Arguing. Ain't get nothing done, but you're just sleepy, got bags under your eyes because you're tired.
And you got work in the morning.
It's ridiculous. And then the whole point is that you go right back where you was before. So the thing, if you learn how to argue, now let me just say, there's healthy arguing and there's non-healthy arguing. So between myself and my husband, we argue. However, we do get, we come to some type of resolve. Because if you don't come to some type of resolve, then, and then also we also have mentors in our lives that we can't solve it. We go to our therapist or our spiritual mother and father, and we'll talk about it. Or we'll go to someone that, you know, because there is some time thing we may come to a
And not to interrupt my wife, but if you are in any level of coaching, you still have a coach.
Yes. I don't get that.
Don't get it twisted.
Because
once
you come and be with us and you're trained how to also train others, you'll see that a lot of times that we'll come together with the leaders, and that's a good segue into this. Because we are going to be training leaders to now have facilities, not facilities, but hold workshops in their own community in training other couples how to stay motivated in their marriage, how to stay committed in their marriage, how to stay, stay dedicated in their marriage. Because it's just not one day you're off. You don't have an off day. I'm just saying. You don't have a day off on your marriage. You don't have I need a breather day.
There's no hall passes.
Yeah, there's none of that. There is, you know, you have to love waking up with them, you know, every single day. You know, I don't get tired of seeing my husband's face. And I don't think you get tired of seeing
him. Oh, no. I see the best part of the moon every time I can. You know, the guy had fun with it.
I love you. So in this thing, we don't really freak out that much anymore. Mm. I don't know. I think it comes to time and wisdom and age. In the thing for so long that you know that the bigger picture is that you're in it together, and we don't compete with each other. I think a lot of times we were competing with each other.
Alpha versus alpha.
And you're trying to get to the same destination, and you guys are fighting over the steering wheel. Sometimes you sit down. Sit down and take the steering wheel. You sit down and take the steering wheel. But you can't drive together.
Mm-mm.
You have somebody, there's only one steering wheel at a time. So the thing is that if you come to the front of that destination and you know you set your GPS to go on a certain destination, you could pull over to the side of the road and let the other one drive. but you can't drive at the same time. I never knew there were two steering wheels in a car.
Unless someone was in training.
Ooh.
I remember that. I remember when I learned how to drive, the instructor had his...
Well, I didn't have to do that because I passed for my first time.
Anyway, we're not going to deal with that point over 20 years ago. But no, but I was excited. But when Cheryl gave a great example, I remember, I don't know if they do it these days, but I remember when the driving instructor had that extra, just in case if you freaked out, he was able to take control. But see, in that state, that's not really a relationship. What that is that you're going through training. You're a novice. Mm-hmm. You're going through a situation where you're growing and aspiring to get to another level. So by doing that, you are experiencing something that's going to bring you to another step regardless of the situations at hand. And as Cheryl said, the time that we wasted freaking out on each other, that wisdom has kicked in now to this day to let us know that, you know, there's certain situations you don't necessarily have to do. You just don't have to go to that point. You don't have to waste that energy. You don't have to vibrate in that particular space just to go to where you think is going on. So by doing so, now you're taking that energy back. You're not wasting any time. You're not taking frivolous amounts of things that you could be utilizing to do something higher for yourself instead of just wasting it on a temporal situation that has nothing to do with nothing in the grand scheme and the long-term situation of your relationship. So just be mindful. Keep your ability, and as Cheryl said earlier, keep that ability to argue properly, argue fairly. Disagree, because you're not going to agree on everything. But disagree with the point, knowing that it's like, look, you have your viewpoint, I have my viewpoint. Let's figure out how we can get into the sum total of this thing. And on top of that, remember, you're bringing in 100, I'm bringing in 100. But within the gumbo that we're mixing, if you're bringing in 100, you're bringing in 100, you think 100 is there. No. There are times that you're going to get 60% of what you want, and your partner's going to get 40. There are times you may get 30.
And I want to say something. This 50-50 rule, it's not about a 50-50. You bring 100% all the time. Because 50-50 means, where's the other 50 at? If I'm bringing 50 to the table and he's bringing 50 to the table, where's your other 50 going? You have to be 100%. 100%. And then when you bring 100%, then you start to discuss where your 100% is going to be. Okay, so 50% will be here with the children or with you today and stuff like that. And then 20% will be me at school. And then you got to make sure that these things are discussed, because that's when you start getting in trouble, because then you start to bring there's no discussion of where your time is being spent, and then you start to get in arguments, and this is where you start freaking out because you guys didn't have a discussion. So, with that being said, we're about to close for this evening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to give you the opportunity to, if you would like to join with us in the Cup of Motivators, and also if you are in entrepreneurship currently with your spouse, and we have some great opportunities for you down the road with us. And we're going to be having some things that you can now have your business take it to the next level for your family and for your family and your children's children to reap the harvest of. So click on the Couples Motivators, and soon you're going to be having a link on the Couple Motivators in order for you to join with us and another website that we have for you, or under Couple Motivators, in that regard, that you're going to be able to own your own business. In with us and also coaching other couples. So thank you so much for your time. We thank you so much for joining us this evening. We love you, and we can't wait to see you next week, Greg.
And that's very true. And we thank you for taking the opportunity to spend some time with us here. We honor the fact that you could have been any place else, regardless if you're looking at us live right now, or specifically, make sure you go subscribe at our YouTube channel, The Couple Motivators, youtube.com Everyone is on YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com, type in The Couple Motivators. You find our channel. Remember, we have a channel. Find our channel and like it and subscribe so you can be in the loop with us. So until next time, until next week when we meet the 20 things that we've learned in marriage that you need to know, things 16 through 20, we will see you next week, and we hope nothing but prosperity, and we wish for you to breathe life every day.
Thank you. God bless.